faith, part three. Okay? It's going to be part three. Isaiah 55:11. Welcome, internet audience. We're glad that you're here with us. And just come on in here and study with us for a little while. We are removing the chokeholds. We're believing God for more and more. And we need to know how to do it. Every year we go through some faith teaching just because you have to live by it. Amen. Praise the Lord. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Now, this word says his word will not return void. It'll not come back empty. It will accomplish. It will prosper. It will achieve. It will get done whatever it is sent to do. Now, do we believe that? Because the word works. Amen. The word absolutely works. Now, we're talking about faith. Like I said, we're building some capacity here. We know, there are people who don't, but when we say faith, we're not talking about your denomination. We're talking about a force that God has given each of us a measure of. And we understand that it is a force. We understand that it is a bridge. Faith is the bridge between the heavenly realm and the earthly natural realm. Amen. And so everything that happens, and if the church ever get a hold of this, everything that happens here happens in the spirit first. Because you are a spirit. You were created and then formed. Amen. And so you're a spirit first. And God is a spirit. So the word of God is spirit. Holy Spirit wrote the word. And so it must be fed into our spirit, not just into our minds. Come on. Now your mind is sitting in your spirit. When you go to heaven, you're going to have your mind, okay? Same one. You'll have your emotions. You'll have your same soul. It'll be there. You'll know who you are, okay? You'll look a little better, but you'll know who you are. But your mind is there, but you have, this word has to reach your spirit to get done what needs to get done. And I'm going to help you with that. We're going to go as far as we need to go to make sure that you can operate in your faith to the best of your ability. So, what you need to do now, if you haven't been with us, go back and listen to last Wednesday and Sunday, and that will catch you up because I can't keep going over stuff. But what we see here is that the word will not return void. The Bible is the written word of God, but Jesus is the living word of God. Okay? So Jesus did not return to heaven void. He accomplished what he needed to accomplish on the earth. Amen. The living word came, did what he needed to do, and went back and said, I've achieved it, Father. I've done what you told me to do. Praise the Lord. He accomplished. So when Jesus came to earth, and people skip over this, but you need to really have the revelation that he came as a man on purpose. He came as a man. He could have come in all of his glory and been God and stepped down into the earth, but he came as a man. Because you have to have an earth suit on to operate in this world system. God made earth for mankind. And so mankind has dominion according to Genesis 1:26 and the next few verses after that. You all know that, but I just need to establish that. I know you're very aware of that. So we've been given dominion. Jesus was given dominion. Now go to Matthew 8:5. I'm going to show you something really cool. You're going to be happy you came. Matthew 8:5. Let me know when you get there. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Are you there? Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a certain a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those around, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Okay, now here we have, well, let's read verse 13. We'll skip 11 and 12. If I have a moment, I'll tell you about those. He's just making a point that the gospel is going to go outside of the Jewish nation. Okay. Okay. So, but verse 13, then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And the servant was healed in that hour. Okay. So here we have a centurion, that's the commander of 100 men, and he's a Roman soldier, he's in the Roman army, he is not a Jew, he is a Roman. His servant is having some violent cramps, he's extremely ill, and Jesus says that the man believes that, the power on Jesus can take care of this. If you'll just say it, he's telling him, I have an understanding here now, I know how you operate, that's what he's telling him, okay? So, but we see Jesus says, you know, I'll come. And then he says, I'm not worthy for you to come. You to come under my roof, but just speak the word. Now, as we have noted, the word will not return void, right? We read the scripture. So we have a word coming from word himself. Okay. And he says, this is what he says. That is, I am subject to commands of others. And know how to obey. This is the soldier talking. I have also under me soldiers who are accustomed to obey. So he knows how to take a command. He's under authority. He also knows how to give a command, and he sees that his soldiers will obey the command. So he's understanding authority on both levels. Okay. I am prepared, therefore, to believe that your commands will be obeyed. He's like, I know you're going to, whatever you say, because I see, Jesus, your authority. So whatever you say, I know it's going to happen. Oh, you better get that. Amen. So, as these soldiers obey me, I see that disease and storms and the seas obey you. He gets some revelation going there. And so he's saying, you know, how much more if I'm just this, and he was very humble, if I'm just this inferior officer here, how much more, and my soldiers obey me because they understand authority, how much more will this disease just obey you? Yes. Glory to God. So he's getting it. He says, he's telling him this, I understand that your original source of power can control all things. Okay? So then Jesus says, this is great faith. This is great faith. Evidently, if there's great faith, there's not so great faith, but there's great faith. So to me now, and I think you can see this, it seems to me that if you have great faith, that you understand authority. Is that right? Okay. So Jesus has authority, even today, over all nature, people, and things. But he doesn't do it himself. He uses the body, right? Now, so, and I'll just prove that to you scripturally. You don't have to go there, but Matthew 28:18 says, Jesus came and spoke to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. That exousia has been given to him. God gave him authority. Adam had that authority. Adam lost the authority and brought the curse on. Adam brought the curse on. He was powerful. He brought the curse on. Jesus got back the blessing. Jesus brought things back the right way and got the dominion back. So, Jesus having authority in both heaven and earth, he can tell whatever, anything that exists, he can tell it what to do and it'll do it. So the thing about it is we're not called, and you gotta get this, and the ecclesia needs to get this. We're not called to ask Jesus to do it. Am I right? We're not called to ask Jesus to use his authority. We are called to use his authority in his name. Got some new tires on my car, and Amanda and Deb, I was outside doing something with John or something, I don't remember. Amanda and Deb got into my wallet. And they got my credit card in my name and charged those tires to me. Yeah. And she was under command to do it, she said. My point being is, in my name, they bought those tires. Because I had the power to buy them. They got their own power, but they used mine. Because it was my car. Praise the Lord. But I just want you to get the point. So, Jesus is the supreme head of the church today. He's the supreme head of the church. But his head is dependent on the body. Ephesians 1 says that God set him at his own right hand, didn't he? And then you drop down in that same scripture. You can see it on the page right now because you probably read Ephesians more than anything else. You drop right down on that page and it says, and has raised us together. And everything's been put under Jesus' feet. So if we're his body, Satan's under our feet. The curse is under our feet. Amen. And so we then have authority as well. So we do our authoritative command, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What does that mean? That means heaven backs you up. Heaven will back you up if you bind or loose something. Amen. Okay, so we have that command by the name of Jesus. So let's answer this question. What is authority? Because there's a lot of opinions about it. But let's just find out what it is in this context. If you ever go to a concert, the four of us were at a concert recently, and when it lets out, there's major traffic, right? Remember, we're walking through all the traffic. We saw Mac Powell and, I don't know, some of those Christian guys that they know better than me. I just am happy and sit there and clap my hands. Anyway, they call on a police officer to come. In fact, Deb's dad used to do that. He was the police officer when the church would let out up in Dallas. And so they have this police officer, and he's there, and he'll direct the traffic. They can raise their hand and stop the cars. But we all know that a person can't stop a 2,000-pound car. Right? We know, so it's not by dunamis, it's not by power, unless you're Superman or one of those Marvel guys. You can't stop the car by yourself, right? So, but the police officer is invested with the authority of the government he serves. Okay? And so when he, in other words, he's backed up. When, Ken would be out there directing the traffic, the Dallas police backed him up. Right. See, he had backup. So he had the badge on. So when he did this, the cars knew to stop or they were going to go somewhere in just a few minutes. At least back in those days, they did that, right? So anyway, that's that authority that we're talking about. So this is what we would say it is. Delegated authority. It's delegated authority. We are called to be strong in the Lord, not strong by ourselves. According to Ephesians 6, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So you're not by yourself. You're called to be strong in the Lord. Strong in the Lord. Because you have delegated authority. So we don't hold out on our own strength. We hold out in God. So now this centurion has this great faith according to Jesus. And he believed that when Jesus gave the command that the sickness would leave. So what I'm telling you tonight then is that great faith believes that authoritative commands launched from the Spirit brings results.
Amen.
Okay? What we need to believe here, great faith, if you have great faith, you are going to believe that authoritative commands launched from the Spirit will bring you what you need. Or whatever, bring you the results. Not launched from the mind. Not launched from parroting Brother Hagin. Not launched from parroting Bill Winston. Not launched from just parroting Pastor Rocks. It has to be something that got down in your spirit. And it's launched. That's how faith works. Just get over yourself.
There you go.
I just feel like I need to say that right now. Just get over yourself. Just get over yourself. You have God. You don't have to do it by yourself. You have the God of the universe. You have delegated authority. He's trying to show you how to operate and flow in it. Amen. Okay. So, words launched from the Spirit. So let's go over to Mark 11:12 then. It's not going to take us very long to walk through this, but I'm hoping you're going to get what you need to get to operate in your faith.
Yes.
Amen. Delegated authority, meaning that if you get the words down on the inside of you, they will not return void. They will not. That's why we pray, Ephesians 1:16-23, the eyes of my understanding being enlightened that I may know the hope of my calling. Why don't we want to pray that all the time over ourselves? My whole life changed when I began to pray that over myself. The eyes of my understanding began to be enlightened when I prayed that. I just didn't stay in a bunch of silly doctrine. Okay, so here's Mark 11:12. Jesus, now this is right before Palm Sunday stuff, okay? This is right before Jesus is going to go through the Passion and all those things. And let's just read it and then I'll tell you about it. Now, the next day when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." Got it?
Got it?
And the disciples heard it. Now, they leave, they go to the city. What they're doing is they're staying out in Bethany, and they're traveling back and forth to the city. Jesus going over to the city. He's having a look around. Everybody's going to start showing up. He's looking to see what everybody's doing. He preached all day long. You think Brother Copeland could preach a long time? Jesus has got him beat. Amen. Jesus could preach all day long, and everybody wanted to hear it. I want to. Praise the Lord. And so then he's traveling back out to where he needs to go. Sees his fig tree. They're doing this now in the morning, verse 20. In the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Peter, remembering, said, "Rabbi, look, The fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered them and said, have faith in God, or have the faith of God. Both is okay. For assuredly I say unto you that whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them, and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father forgive you. I'll help you with that in just a minute. So have faith in God, or have the faith of God. Both are good. God faith believes and makes authoritative command. Light be. See? It creates, removes, brings, heals, activates, just to name a few things. That's what happens when God speaks. He's speaking from authority. Now, he's given that to you. Have the faith of God. There you go. I believe I will. So you have that. Now, when he's talking, these things are happening, so it changes natural situations. Gravity says a 180-pound man cannot walk on water. However, we know two who did, Jesus and Peter. Amen. Yeah, but Peter fell in. Well, have you even gotten a few steps out there? You need to start practicing. Just fill the bathtub up with a couple inches and get in there. Yeah, praise the Lord. Current medical science says that lepers and cripples can't be cured. Yet you see Jesus and people today, ministers, laymen, all Christians now, lay hands on the sick or pray for someone, they get a miracle, they get healed. Because authority and authoritative commands change things. It just reminded me of a story. Remember Smith Wigglesworth? And he's at the bus station. You probably remember. He's at the bus station. And a lady comes up there. And her little chihuahua follows her up there. I believe this is how it goes. I haven't read it in a long time. But the lady says, now, honey, go back home. And the little dog stands there wagging his tail, you know. Well, honey, now go on. Now go on. I got to get on the bus. Now go back home. And that wouldn't do anything. In a minute, she just stomps her foot and says, scat! Or something like that. And the dog, get. Is it get? Yeah, G-I-T. Get. Scat is what you use for felines, probably. Anyway, I didn't say anything. Praise the Lord. So, Smith Wigglesworth says, now that's how you should talk to the devil. Now that's how you ought to talk to whatever's bothering your body. Get out. In the name that has given me this authority, get out. And Jesus said, it should obey you. Right? Glory to God. Do we believe this stuff? Because it's true. So, see, physical laws are just suspended when it comes to Jesus. And when it comes to Jesus' people. Faith is that unseen force. That energy force, it creates matter, it becomes matter, it can move matter. God used faith substance to create the universe. We understand that. You use your word, your faith, your energy vibrations. I hate to use that word. It sounds new agey, but you know what I mean by that. Your voice, your authority, and it will change things. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It will.
Either way.
Yes.
But you've got way more power by using the word of God.
Yes.
And by things being launched from the Spirit. No, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. That's what he said. So the fig tree died. Where did it die from? The root. Amen. So just because you don't see automatic results doesn't mean it isn't happening. Those devils will beg to stay.
Yes, they will.
But, and you say, I said get out. Amen. It's not my thought. So Jesus launched an authoritative command from the Spirit. Now, verse 23, for assuredly I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. He'll have whatever he says. He will have whatever he says, because confession brings possession. Confession brings, it'll bring it either way. Well, I believe I'm just going to catch the flu. I feel like I'm taking the flu. You just took it. You just, see, what the world doesn't understand, and many Christians don't understand, is that we talked about this last week about venting. Remember we talked about that? You don't vent on people. You don't have to tell how you feel about everything. You can dialogue with God and one person, but make sure you always do what David does and come back and say, but God. There is a small time for that. But if you're just going around, oh, this is just how I feel. This is just how I feel. And, you know, all the time. And you did this to me and they did this to me and all that kind of junk. And you're just a victim. And yeah, and you're just bringing all that on yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Why does this always happen to me? Because you're always saying it always happens to you. Jesus said, take no thought of worry saying it. Yeah. Amen. Well, you've been telling us that for a long time. I'll be telling you that for a long time. Now, so, this is how it works. You find out what you can have in the promises. Mm-hmm. Find out what you can have or what you already have. Because healing is already so. Jesus has already paid for it. It's already so. Okay? You find out what you can have. Are what God will do for you. That means then you have hope. Oh, God does this for people. Don't you know that that's what the woman with the issue of blood had? She started with some hope. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the Messiah. He's healing people.
Yeah.
I think if I go over there, but what did she do then? She said it. She said, if I can but touch that prayer shawl, if I can grab the bottom of that prayer shawl, I'll be healed. Uh-huh. But see, she had hope. She had a picture. I'm walking out of there well. I am walking out of there well, and nothing can tell me I'm not. I'm going to walk out of there well. Okay, so she's now building her faith. She had hope. She begins to feed her spirit with the word until it overflows with trust and belief that he'll do what he says he'll do or what he's already done. Faith starts rising up. If you have faith in delegated authority then that God has given you, you can speak to the dead mountain with living faith and it'll be removed. Dead mountain, living faith, gone. Fear knocked at the door, faith answered, fear left.
Amen.
Same principle. Amen. You got to get rid of that fear.
Yes. Yes.
Well, what if I'm in faith and I die? Well, it'd be better to die in faith than in doubt, I guess. But you won't.
Nope.
You won't. If you're in faith, if you're in mental assent, you could.
Yeah.
If you're just repeating what you heard and pretending that you're in faith and pretending that you feed your spirit and lying to yourself. You know what the Lord told me? I'll just give you this for free. He said, people that believe a lot of lies let lies in. They let lies in that don't even have anything to do with the lies they're believing. Isn't that interesting? We want to know the truth. We want to know the truth because we're not letting lies in. Amen. Now, So, yeah, thank you, Lord. When we see the word say here in Mark 11, when you see the word say, hold on a minute. I might want to add a little something to that. I'm done, so. Say is in here more than believe.
Right.
That's what I want to say. So it's important. And it's important because if you say, you will believe.
Yes.
You're going to believe yourself. Charles Capps, 101. That's what he taught us. If you'll confess it. Remember he was out there confessing that his plants weren't going to, I have a bad crop and every year. And when he got a hold of this, he started talking to those fields and he started having success. He called in the whatever the crops were. He called in an airplane. He did, you know, he did what he needed to do. So saying helps you fill up that place so that you believe. Got it? Now, I'm not going to go into this tonight, but we'll do this very soon. I want you to notice it said, believe you receive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not just if you believe you will receive. It said you believe you receive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sarah received strength to conceive.
That's right.
So she had to get to the place where she believed enough to receive and then believed that she received it. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
She needed strength. Now, that's when you need those four crazy friends that'll lift you down through the roof into Jesus' presence.
Yeah.
Because we need each other.
Amen.
We need each other when we get weak or we're in pain. We need others' faith helping us.
We do.
And that's what the body is for.
Yes.
We're not supposed to be a bunch of lone rangers using our own faith. We're supposed to corporately use our faith, corporately live together. And if one person gets attacked, the rest of the herd will help. The rest of the flock will help. The rest will move forward in their faith and help that person come up, just like those four people did. So, but this comes forth alive from your heart with authority. That's what I want you to get. I wrote in my Bible a long time ago when I, about four Bibles ago I did, but I put here, an authoritative command launched from the Spirit. When he said, no man eat fruit of you forever. No one's going to do it again. He meant it.
Yep.
He said it with his authority.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never be broke another day in my life.
Boom.
That's what you need to say.
Yes.
And most of you are like, well, I'm way past that. Well, it wouldn't hurt to say it because of the economy and everything. Wouldn't hurt to say it because you want to keep the spiritual doors open and what God's doing for you open.
Exactly.
The Lord is my shepherd. I will not lack. I will not lack. He will always have some green pasture for me to lie down in. I will never go without a place to stay, ever. I have total faith in that. I'll not ever be out on the street. Not gonna happen. Y'all thinking? Okay. But see, you have to put that in there or you'll start thinking, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What are we going to do? Where are we going to live? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Got to do something. Got to do what are we going to do? And you'll just drive yourself nuts with that. But you can't solve it. He's supposed to be the one that does that for you. He's supposed to heal you. He is the power. You're just the demand. But you have the authority to call on that power. You are the thermostat. You set the temperature. Whatever you can't, you don't go, it's 90 degrees outside. Turn that thing up to 90. No, you say 71, or if you're Amanda, you go 64. She likes it cold. By the way, it's her birthday today. It's Claudia's birthday, so be sure and say happy birthday to them. So, but you say what you want. It's connected to a bigger power. It runs to that bigger power, and that bigger power will come give you 71 degrees. Now that's easy. You don't go over there and tell it and agree with the temperature you don't want. You agree with what you want. You say what you want. That's how you believe you receive. Okay. Now, so we see the word say here. It's more than parroting, and it's more than remembering. Well, I remember by his stripes I am healed. By his stripes I am healed. By his stripes. Well, when's the last time you really digested that? Now, it will help you if you'll start saying it. But if you just are now saying it, and you're saying it once, it's not going to help you if you haven't taken it in a long time. You're going to have to go after it.
Yes. Right.
Until you drive out the doubt, which is what I was going to talk about next. If you won't go back and doubt that you believe, that you received what you said, then you're going to have what you say. Doubt, the Bible says a double-minded man does not receive anything from the Spirit because he's putting his hand out and taking it away, putting his hand out and taking it away. It's not because God doesn't want to give it to him. God's not saying, well, you're double-minded. I'm not giving you anything. No, he's trying to give it to you, but you keep drawing back.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I don't think I can have that. But God said you could. But I don't know how I could get it. You can't. Except by using your words. By using your faith. That's how you get it. That's how things change. Not by you figuring it out. Now you're going to use your smarts. You're going to use your brain. But you use it on the other side of the faith. How to keep doubt out. Keep confessions going. That's how you keep the doubt out. Just keep the confessions going. I am the body of Christ, and Satan has no power over me. I overcome evil with good. My blood pressure is 120 over 80. My heart beats with the rhythm of life. Da, 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 da. We have a different, we every day we sit out on the porch and do the different ones now. We're picking up the different ones, and one of us repeats after the other one says it. Now, we've done this for years and years. And then sometimes we'll quit. And then we're like, why are we quitting? And it works. Church, God loves you so much, he'll start with the simplest way to teach you these things. I knew nothing. But I just picked up that I knew God wanted to bless me. And I'm like, okay, so I'm like a little bitty kid in the faith message. And I started saying this, just didn't even really know what I was doing. And I'm not telling you to do this, although it does work. But I just did this because I didn't know anything else to do. I started saying, my pockets are filled with $100 bills. My pockets are filled with $100 bills. My pockets are filled with $100 bills. I just was saying that because I thought, well, I'll just say something. Well, I said it for about a day. And my brother-in-law came and knocked on my door and said, I'm supposed to come over here and give you $200. Wow. I'm like, give me that. We had that kind of relationship. And so I thought, okay. So my pockets are filled with $100 bills. Well, my friend Vicky calls me up. Rox, I'm supposed to give you $100. Come on over. God just used that, okay? Yeah. He used that to teach a little bitty faith kid how to start believing him.
Yeah.
And so I got into bigger things. And it works.
Yeah.
I can't tell you the times that I've been healed. I mean, everything from parasites in my blood to two knees that were blown out to all kinds of stuff that... lots of stories. And God's healed me. I mean, I had faith that God would heal me. I'm on the ski lift with two blown out knees. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I'm your shepherd. And when my skis hit that that snow, my knees were healed. God does it. I went to a... We were poor, and we lived in a little mamaw house. Y'all know what a mamaw house is? You know, little mamaw house, long, little white stick house type thing. And we were driving by this house that had 38 windows. It was a plantation home. And we're like, wow, what would it be like to live in that house? All those windows. I mean, we're just like, what would it be like? And so we just pulled up in front of it and said, you know what? Let's put our faith on that. And so we believed we received it, and I called up the guy and made him a deal he couldn't refuse somehow, and we moved into that house.
You had some neon lights.
Yeah, I traded him some 7-Eleven lights or something that my brother-in-law had. Brother-in-law was good. And we lived in that house, and we started preaching the gospel. It's where we met Debbie. We started preaching the gospel in that house. And we got a crowd in that house. Debbie'd be in there playing the piano. We'd be singing. The band would set up in there. The neighbors would turn us in. There'd be so much noise. Praise the Lord. But we believed God. And then you know my story. You know my other stories. You know my story about the house. We went on staff at Lee and Sue Boss's church. So we had to move to Austin, or we wanted to. And Deb's dad lived with us, and we took care of him, and we needed a big place, and we were like, where are we going to live? You know, I don't know where we're going to live, but Lord, you know, we're two country girls, and we got these children and this poodle, and we need to somewhere to live. And so, Lord, what you know, we got, and so we found this house on 22 acres in the middle of Austin on the Goodnight Trail, and it was their ranch. And it was a 3,500 square foot house with this huge barbecue pit and a jacuzzi and a pool. And so I said this, and y'all understand, I don't play the lottery. You just have just as much a chance to win it without buying a ticket as you do with it. And I just don't do it. God doesn't like for me to lose at anything, so I'm not going to play it. But for some reason, I said, I'm going to win the lottery. I'm going to win the lottery. And I was just saying, I'm going to win. Somebody's calling me. Call me back. I'm going to win the lottery. Probably someone calling me to bless me, because it happens to me all the time. So I'm just saying, I told Deb, I don't know why I'm saying that, but it just seems right that I'm just saying it. So we go to see the house. That place, there's cars everywhere. They're looking all over. Oh, there's people all over the place. And we meet the two realtors, and they're walking through with us and showing us the place. And people are stuffing money in their pockets. I'll take it. I'll take it. Here's my deposit. I'll take it. And they just keep talking to us, and we're walking through and everything. And so we drove out the driveway and turned around and said, I bind you to us in the name of Jesus. An authoritative command launched from the Spirit. So we drive off. The phone rings the next morning. Can y'all come up to our office? We drive up to the office, and the owner of the property walks out and says, hey girls, y'all won the lottery. Come on. 50 people tried to get into that house. Now, we lived there as long as we need to live there. We ended up going to work for another church, so we moved back to our area. And that place sat there and sat there and sat there and sat there and sat there, and nobody would do anything with it, and it just sat there. And we're driving down the highway one day, and I was like, man, are they ever going to do anything? And the Lord spoke to me. He said, are you ever going to let that go? And I said, oh, I release that property in the name of Jesus. A few weeks later, somebody moved in there and started tearing stuff down, and there's condominiums there. Don't tell me we don't have power. Don't tell me we don't have authority. And I could tell you story after story after story of these things happening in my life, and I know you have the same stories, the same stories. You can do what you need to do with the authoritative power of God, with your faith, and get what you need from the spirit realm. You receive this tonight?
Yes.
Okay. Now, let me just say about God forgiving you, and then we'll close. The scripture there says, if you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. Mm-hmm. And he's talking to the Jews. In your case, this is how it works for you. God has forgiven you. You stay in that lane by forgiving. But he's not going to stop forgiving you. He has forgiven you. Don't put up a blessing blocker. Don't put up something between you and God. He's not going, if you don't forgive your so-and-so, I'm not going to forgive you. No, 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 no. Jesus has come. Jesus has paid. What it's saying, what we need to understand about that is that we are forgiven, but if we don't forgive, we'll stop the flow of God. Mm-hmm. It's important to forgive. Well, I don't know how I can do it. I don't feel like I can do it. It's not about your feelings. Mm-hmm. It's about your will. And when you see that person that you had to forgive a few months ago or whenever it was, and you feel Tabasco sauce coming up your legs, and you're like, yeah, there they are. Hello, Newman. You know. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We'll explain it to Danny later. Seinfeld, you know. Hello, Newman. But anyway, you can just say, no, I forgave. I forgave. It doesn't matter how I feel. I'm healed. Doesn't matter how I feel. I will resist the devil. I will resist sickness. I will resist laying down. I will resist. Now, I'm not talking about not resting, but just letting things overtake you. That's what I'm talking about. You resist those things. That's our part of the suffering, is resisting, because Jesus has already paid. We don't feel like, I don't feel good, I'm not coming to church. Well, resist that.
Right. Right.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you that we do have faith. We thank you, Lord, that we need words launched from our spirit, and we thank you that they will override any other words in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for your will being done in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do in this season, and we will use our faith in Jesus' name. Amen.